In the book of 2 Samuel 23, there's a list of the mighty men of David. And I just want to start here as an introduction to our message tonight. And in verse 8, it says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The name was Aldino, the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time." That's pretty incredible. Okay? Could you slew 800 people? I can't even slew 800 ants. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. And his hand claved under the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Have we ever gotten into a fight so much that we just got tired, but we just kept on fighting? We couldn't let go of the fight. Here's this man. And the Lord was with him and wrought a great victory. But there, where was everybody else? That's a good question. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where a piece of ground full of lentils, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines except Shammah. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. Folks, we're losing a lot of ground in today's world as Christians. And will you be willing to stand and defend a piece of ground? Defend the faith. And slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a what? A great victory. Because with God, nothing's impossible. And with God, there's always victory. Even our faith. But there's more. And three of the 30 men went down and came to David in the harvest time to the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed. Now, what would you do for your friend? Would you risk your life? Would you say, no matter what he asks, I'll do it? Look at what David asked. He just asked. He didn't ask him specifically, but he just made a statement. And look at what these guys did. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." The three of them got together and said, sounds like a what? Good idea. It didn't matter about the army of the Philistines that was around that. It said, "And the three mighty men break through the host." Would you be willing to do that? For someone to get a drink. Break through the host of the Philistines. It drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Those are pretty incredible tasks. But you know something? None of these guys is listed in Hebrews 11. They're not listed there. They do great things. And there's a lot of us that can do great things for God. And we just sit in the background. Folks, we should all do great things for God. My message tonight is, help me. Audio visual training in progress. No, she's back there. There you go. How to do the impossible. Do you think you could slew 800 people? Do you think you could break through an army? Do you think that you could go and break through an entire host of people guarding a well and bring water back? We would think that those things are impossible. But see, God's called us to do the impossible. Would you ever think that you would have a home in heaven? Would you ever think that the God of the universe would die on the cross for you? Would you ever think of that love so much? We would think that that is impossible. God's done remarkable things for us. And we need to do remarkable things for Him. But I can't. I can't. These mighty men weren't even recognized in the Hall of Fame of Faith. They were in the background, but they did great things. Folks, we need to have an outlook that every one of us in this room tonight, every one of us in the church can do great things for God. Because with God, nothing's impossible. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you." See, the disciples had some problems. They had just seen Christ, three of them had just seen Christ transfigured in His glory, in His heavenly glory. The rest of the disciples are down the bottom, and there's this guy that's possessed, and they've seen God, Christ, cast out demons, and they tried to do it, and they couldn't do it. And then the man that was a father of a child said, "Your disciples couldn't do it." And said it was because of your unbelief. And then Christ says this. He says this. He says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed." Well, I've heard all this before. But do you really apply it? See, we hear all these things over and over and over and over again. And do we just get numb to it? And just say, Yeah, that's not meant for me. Or yeah, I tried that and it didn't work. No, we can do the impossible. It says, if you have a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, "Remove hence to yonder place," and it shall remove. And everybody read this. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. What does that mean? Nothing should be impossible. Does that mean you could do anything for God? Absolutely. Could you slew 800 men? Absolutely. Could you go through a host? Yes. Could you stand and defend a piece of ground? Yes. Could you share your faith? Absolutely. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Another from the... Yeah. I've heard this all before. But without faith, it's what? Impossible to please who? God. See, it's all about faith and believing Him. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." See, there's five things that we need to understand about faith. If you want to do the impossible, you must have impossible conquering faith. The first one is we need to ponder the purpose of faith. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of faith through a promise of the Spirit through faith. See, he's writing this to a Gentile church. And had Christ not gone to Calvary, they would be lost. He went to the Jews, and the Jews rejected him. But had he not gone to Calvary, the Jews would not have an opportunity to get to heaven. We need to understand what faith is all about. It's all about Christ. And we need to ponder the purpose of faith. The purpose of faith is the means by which we receive God. There's two passages I want us to look at first. First, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, "For then therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's not New Testament. That's Old Testament. That's Habakkuk 4:4. The just shall live by faith. See, nothing's changed. See, the Old Testament saints live by faith. We need to live by faith. Hey, those dudes were Old Testament saints. And say, the just shall live by faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. See, I think too often we just size up a problem and we'll say that, yeah, I'll do that because I know I can do that because I can see the size of it. But where is faith in that?
Right.
Where is faith in that? Where is go beyond yourself? If we just limit ourselves with what we see, that's not faith. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, have you seen heaven? None of us have seen heaven. And if you have, come talk to me. We need to talk. Okay? Maybe some of us wish to see heaven. I think we all should. But the issue is, we haven't seen heaven, yet we believe in it. Has anyone seen Jesus Christ face to face? No, but yet we believe Him. We don't live by sight. We live by faith. And oftentimes we get into this problem of we see it and say, that's too big for me. I can't do that. I've seen other people try it and fail. We need to understand, we need to ponder the purpose of faith. It's to, first of all, get us a home in heaven. But then from that point on, there's nothing impossible for us. Faith is the foundation of our spiritual life. If we don't have faith, you can't do anything for God. If you don't have faith, you can't do anything for God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, and it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your what?
Faith.
Faith. See, if you don't have the foundation of faith, there is nothing to add on to. If you don't have the foundation of faith, there is no way that you can mature as a Christian. If you don't exercise your faith, you can never grow. It says, get all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Do those sound familiar? Those sound eerily close to the fruits of the Spirit. And we've been studying in Matthew, it says, by their fruits ye shall know them. If someone says they have faith, but there's no virtue in their life, you can't convince me that they have faith. If you say you have faith, but you have no knowledge of God, you can't convince me that you have faith. If you say that you have faith, but you fly off the handle at everything, you can't convince me that God's in control of your life. If you say you have faith and you don't love one another, you can't convince me that you have faith. See, we're supposed to add all those things to faith. Do you know where you're going when you die? That's the important thing. If you don't, you need saving faith tonight.
Amen. Yes, you do.
Tonight. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to live a perfect life, to be a perfect sacrifice for your sins on the cross. He took your place on the cross. He paid sin's penalty on the cross. He went to the grave for you, for your sins. And then He rose again the third day. And all we have to do is believe that and ask Him to forgive us, ask Him to forgive our sins and to save us and give us eternal life. And He will do it.
Amen.
And if you've never done that, please don't don't leave here tonight without doing that. That's the start. And then you can do mighty things for Him. And the brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and we miss this part. These things must be in us. You call yourself a Christian, you need to have these things. And not only that, they need to abound. They need to be bigger than you. They need to be outside of your sphere of personal sphere of influence and go into other people's sphere of observation. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's purpose for us, that we bear much fruit. You can't do that if you don't have faith. It is impossible to bear fruit for God without faith. But with God, all things are what? Possible. Well, I can never get control of myself. You can't. God can. Amen. Well, I never can love that other person. You can't, but God can give you the ability to do it. Yep. Well, I could never do these. I could never have the knowledge of the Bible. You can't, but God can. We need to ponder the purpose of faith. It is the foundation that we need to base our spiritual life on. You have no spiritual life if you don't have faith in Christ. So we need to ponder the purpose of faith. Secondly, we need to prove the promises of faith. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20, talking about Abraham. Abraham is an old, dried up man. He's withered, okay? And God says, you're going to have a kid. And you're going to have a great nation. Even after he messed up with Hagar, the promise was still there. See, God never retracts his promise. He just wants us to come to him. And so this is talking about this. It says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. See, we need to ponder the purpose of faith. Secondly, we need to prove the promises of faith. We need to test the promises of faith because they cannot fail, because God cannot fail. See, we think that God is a little God. He's not a small G. He's a big G. He's a big G. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Moses is charging Joshua. Moses is about ready to die. Joshua is going to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And they're looking over the valley, and Jordan is flooded. And there's big, strong cities on the other side. And Moses encourages Joshua here. For at the word of the Lord says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is it that doeth go with thee. He will not what? Fail thee, nor forsake thee if you know him. He won't. He won't. We need to prove the promises of faith. We need to test them. They're real because they're in God's Word. We need to try the promises of faith by using them in times of trial, adversity, and need. You know something? My empirical evidence says that's when most Christians just cut and run. It's just too hard. I just can't get through this. And we use God as a last resort. He should be our first resort. He should be the promise he gave to Joshua. I will never leave thee. I will never fail thee. Nor what? Forsake thee. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, Paul's writing here and he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to what? Perfection. That means to be complete in him. Let's not sit here and squabble about little things. Let's go on today. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. See, the Bible says this. We need to try Him. Taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Out of my distress, He heard my cry and He set my feet upon a rock. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? God's taking our church through a bunch of rough times. We need to keep the faith. We need to prove the promises of faith. And then next, we need to pursue the possibilities of faith. This morning, talked about Christ after He heals the paralytic. He's walking down the road and He sees Matthew at the tax collector table. And He says, follow Me. See, we need to pursue the possibilities of faith. We should never waste an opportunity. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, it says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. See, there's the condition. If thou canst believe, all things are... Everybody read this. All things are possible to him that believeth. What does that mean? All things. Well, God doesn't understand my circumstances. Huh? Are you not part of all? He says all. Well, this is too hard. Don't you understand that nothing's too hard for me? That's what His Word says. So we need to pursue the possibilities of faith. The potential of faith is beyond our little pea brain minds. It's beyond our comprehension. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Now wait a second. What does that mean? That means if you think that God's only this big, He's that big. And if you think He's that big, He's that big. And if you think He's that big, He's actually this big. Now He's standing on chairs. The issue is, we need to understand how big God really is. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. See, here's the point. God is only limited by our failure to believe. The disciples couldn't cast out the demon because of their unbelief. The disciples in the boat in Matthew chapter 8 thought that they were going to die because of their unbelief. Peter gets out of the boat and he's walking on water and he looks around at all the trouble that's around him and he starts to sink and he says, Lord, save me, because he didn't believe. Folks, all things are possible to who? To him that believeth. See, we need to pursue the possibilities of faith. God is only limited by our failure to believe. This is a problem today. People at work don't follow through. People at work want to get partial credit. We'll say, I thought about doing it. Isn't that good enough? No. Well, I said I would do it. Isn't that good enough? No. Well, I thought really hard to make all the arrangements to do it, but I didn't do anything. Did you do it? No. When is a job done? When you finish it. When you actually do the work. There is no partial credit. You either have, you're going to do it, or you've done it. In between, you're still working on it and you haven't finished yet. People ought to encourage you to finish. We need to encourage people to finish. We need to encourage each one of us in here to continue to finish the faith and the pursuit of faith and the pursuit of working for God until we complete it. There's so many people that just give up and just go by and just, where are they? Where are they? We need to encourage them. See, persistence and patience are often required. No, they're always required. See, because if we just say, we'll just do it and it's instantly done, where's the faith? Where's the testing? Where's the perseverance? Where's the virtue or character building? Where's the temperance? Where's the knowledge? Where's all that stuff if we don't follow through to the end? See, are often required before we see God work. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. You know, in Ephesians it says that we're supposed to rejoice for more. In Philippians chapter 4, in everything, give thanks. I think I misquoted that one. Okay? But it says, but not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. There's that temperance word again. Ugh. And patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. You know why? Because it gets you to the end. It gets you to the end. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See, what's the power of God? He's able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. See, we need to come out of ourselves and get into the God realm. We need to come out of our little group of people and get into the bigger group of the church. We need to get out of the group of church and get into the body of Christ and start working together. Because these are the last days. And we need to do that. We need to pursue the possibilities of faith. And then we need to pray the prayer of faith. In John chapter 14, verse 14, it says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We often think that that's a rubber stamp. It's not. It's not a rubber stamp at all. See, our prayers need to be consistent with God's will and His Word. See, there's a warning about praying outside of God's will. In James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, you ask and you receive not, because you ask what? Amiss. That means wrong. Wrong way. Wrong action. Wrong viewpoint. Wrong motive. Wrong faith. Wrong need. Out of my will. Not consistent in my word. You ask amiss, that you can consume it upon your own lust. See, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Philippians chapter 2 says, we have the mind of Christ. Our prayers need to have that mindset. Our prayers need to have the mindset of the mind of Christ. We need to think in accordance with His Word. We need to think in accordance with His will. Because then the promise is there. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, because that will be a prayer of faith, because you're asking it the right way. Petitions made to God, which are subject to His will and accompanied by faith, will bring results. I want us to think of that for a little bit. Think about this. If God says, I'll never fail thee nor forsake thee, if we ask anything according to His name, I will do it. If you're consistent to His will, He's doing it. If it's going to grow us as a Christian, He'll do it and bring fruit. He says that will be not what? We'll be fruitful, nor barren. We will not be barren. So does that mean that if we live the Christian life, we'll be blessed? Yeah. Will we get the blessings that we think? We may not. Maybe not so. But we'll get exactly what God wants to give us. And we'll be happy with it. See, Paul says, I have learned to whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be what? Content. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. It's all about giving us what we need, not what we want. See, needs are in line with God's will. Wants are in line with us. And he's not going to do that. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, it says, in all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You got a big decision to make? Pray about it. You got a big task in front of you? Pray about it. Say, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to believe. Help me to trust in you. You can't figure out the direction to go. Pray about it and then go consistent with his will and his word. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong following God's word. You can't go wrong following his will. You can't. But I'm scared. You can't go wrong following God's word. You can't go wrong following his will. But I'm scared. You can't go wrong following his word. You can't go wrong. Your problem is, you need more faith. Because God is only limited by our what? Failure to believe. So we need to pursue the possibilities of faith. We need to proclaim, pray the prayer of faith. I'm sorry, had the wrong header on that, okay? And then lastly, we need to proclaim the power of faith. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, the last part of it says, ye shall say unto this mountain. It's interesting because earlier Christ says, which one of you out here in this crowd can by just thought add one cubit to his stature? And a lot of short people would love to have that. Okay? But the issue is he says that. Why? Because I just want to be taller. But now what's he saying here? He says, you can say to this mountain, remove hence, and it will. What's the difference? What's the difference in the two situations? Christ is saying both things. One is just for us. The other one is for his glory. And see, what we understand is we need to proclaim the power of faith. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And when it happens, what do? We give glory to God. We give glory to God. See, man has made all sorts of progress in generating power. You know, you go out, just go out here on down 151, and you can see the great big solar panel farm that CPS is building. When we were on a trip, we saw these great big windmill blades. You know, you go and you drive down 37, you see a big hydroelectric plant. You go and you watch a nuclear submarine that can go indefinitely based on the power plant that's in it. See, mankind has figured out power. Mechanical power. And that's great. Causes us to live a good life. Gives us comfort, okay? But the point is that man will eternally fail to match the power of God. Right. See, faith begins where man's power ends. Because it exceeds man. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Man will eternally fail to match the power of God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul writes this, and I'll close with this verse. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, I need to go talk to that person, but I don't know what they think. I don't want him to get mad at me. Well, I don't know if this is the right time. If you're thinking about it, it's the right time. Because God's prompting you. Well, I just really don't want to do it today. Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Okay? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to what? Everyone that believeth. Folks, tonight I just want to encourage you to believe. I want to encourage you to have faith. I want you to encourage you to go beyond just saving faith and go into an acting faith. A faith that will do good works for Him. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." The Sermon on the Mount says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works." James says, "Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." See, we have to have this show. There has to be fruit. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It's just too hard for me. I can't do it. He will never fail thee, nor forsake thee. See, with the Word of God, the impossible becomes the possible. Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Is there anything too hard for you? Could you slew 800 men? Could you hold a piece of ground? If God put you in that situation, you could. You could. And folks, the situations that we're put in our daily lives, God's got a reason for those. He wants us to be more like Him. He wants to be conformed to His image. Do we have the faith to believe it? Do we have the faith to claim the power of God? Do we have the faith to succeed? Do we have the faith to glorify God? That's what it's all about. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Help us, Lord, to realize that nothing is impossible with You. Father, increase our faith. Help our unbelief. And Father, help us, Lord, to follow You with all our heart. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that they, tonight, when we sing, that they'll come forward and we can pray the prayer of faith with them. Lord, for us that are saved, Lord, I just ask that You help us, Lord, to believe and not limit You in our lives. Lord, work in our lives, Lord. Work in us tonight. Change us tonight. Help us to be more committed for You. Help our unbelief. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.